house recording is that of Dr. Cosmo Lang, the late Archbishop of Canterbury. This is his second communication, and he came through after his first communication had been paid back to the Church of Fellowship for Faculty of Study at their conference in London in September 1960. And he answers, in this particular recording, he answers some questions they raised. This is recorded on the 1st of October 1960, the Christmas scene of the S.G. Woods and Mrs. B. Green of 11 Elm Road, Worthing, Sussex, England, medium Mr. Leslie Flint.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, sir. Well?
Third edition of Flynn's.
Hello.
Hello. Flynn's here.
Yes, sir.
There's a little thing. The various reasons why I have come on this occasion. Certainly, you should probably are aware I have been very closely linked recently with you.
Yes.
And I was at your meetings when you gathered together with the members of the Church of Fellowship. And I realized only too well the reaction that has been felt in certain quarters in regard to my talk which you played on that occasion. I have nothing to take back. In fact, I have much more to say on this subject. I am still, as you always, I'm sure, remain most interested, most active in regard to the welfare of the Church. And not only the Church in England, the churches throughout the world that proclaim the teachings and the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there are many points that I would raise in regard to the Church's work, particularly do I feel the need in the Church to proclaim more fully and more detail this great truth, which is the basis of all religions, of realization, knowledge, life, beyond the grave. For without it, all religions, all churches, must fail in their task. We know only too well of many people who are themselves by faith, Christians, believers, who may perhaps do not feel the need for the evidence which we can give, and often because the various teachings in the past are inclined to look down upon what you could term today spiritualism as such. And if they do admit the possibility of communication, are inclined continue to rock the desert. We need to begin the realization God will and purpose in permitting communication. We want you to understand, if properly understood and applied, this fact can bring all religions together in peace and tranquility. We should break down the barriers that separate men throughout the world. We should unite them in peace and brotherhood, while politicians wrangle and creeds separate. This truth will understand, will realize to its fullest possibility to save man from destruction. No world is in great need. That is the reason why I and others come to you, and particularly at this time, the members of the church, to plead that you shall open your ears, you shall open your eyes to universal truth, the faith of all men. We are appalled for the condition of your world. You have suffered in your world through man's foolishness, ignorance, and greed, and intolerance, to love. And I know that spiritual truth and the revelation that we shall bring will save you. That is nothing else but that. Until man has found spiritual wisdom through knowledge, there can be no hope for the world. And that is why I and others are still insisting that you shall find through experience that faith that is reigning in the world, and particularly in the church. This foundation, which centuries ago was given on the resurrection. For Christ said, I go to meet my Father. Then ye shall be also. Did he not also turn to the thief on the cross and say, for today thou shalt be with me in paradise? Did not refer to tomorrow or speak with him? He said today, all men survive death, irrespective of what they themselves may have been by character, good or bad. And is there any man so good, or any man so vile or so low, that he shall not have the opportunity of gradual progression to the higher spheres? There is no such thing as perfection. one man who survives finds there is always room for further knowledge, further experience, further development. And that is what makes eternal life. If one were to reach the apex, with nothing left to discover, nothing more to do, because you had already done it, no new field to conquer, no new experience to experience, there could be no eternity. We cannot understand what eternity really means. But we must remember there is no such thing as time. Time is but an illusion in man's mind. We are timeless and ageless. We go on and on, always gaining greater knowledge through greater opportunity, and in consequence greater service one to the other. We are in a condition of life where brotherhood truly exists. And we cast in ourselves all the foolishness of the earth, and we forget our squabbles and our pettiness and our greed and our avarice, and we endeavor to serve truly one to the other. We live in a state of change, gradual though it may be, but ultimate development towards greater height. Your world is the training ground. You have been given bodies to inherit, but through them you might experience many things. You have been given opportunities to overcome. Many fail, indeed all fail, no man can hope to achieve all things in the brief span upon earth. Man's history proves that he does not change so very much. And why is this? Surely it is because he has not a true foundation. He has ignored the reality, late through many years of experience, the wrong things. He seeks the things of the flesh and not of the spirit. There must be balance, and there is no one in your world who is balanced. All seek the things of the earth, forgetting that they are, by their very nature, eternal in themselves, and that the things they must strive for are the things that in themselves are least desired. For what do you bring here when you leave the earth? Not your wealth, not your property, not your position, not your title, but only that which you yourself have become by experience. You are no more and no less than what you have made yourself by your experiences day by day. How you have given out rather than what you should receive. For he who gives and gives is much greater to consider those misfortunes and to sacrifice for them than to receive much yourself and raise yourself in a material sense to a height from which you must come tumbling down when death takes place. You see the folly and the foibles of your life. We see the pathetic silence of the things which within yourselves you know so well are distant to you, when the time shall come to depart from the world. How many people with wealth and position are happy people? How many are healthy in mind and in body? And those who didn't have been dead. Those who have least have no system. This is true. Those who come to you from spirit to do this work among you are most humble in themselves. And I assure you that the more one progresses spiritually, the more one realizes that one must be most humble. When I look into your world, and I see, as I do, members of our church in high places, well-meaning and sincere though they well may be, are afraid to change. Are afraid the changes will affect their position, their power. It is an old story in the history of the world, not only in the church, but in many senses. So many who start simply as sincerely, seeking to do God's will among his children, as they are raised up to carry them, are they cast down spiritually. The more their knowledge and experience, they are often barren within themselves. It has been said by our Lord Jesus Christ that unless you become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. How true that is. How true that is. For what is the kingdom of heaven but a state of mind? We are no more than what we have become by experience. You must remember, there are many who are the opinion in your world because of their high place and position. Because they are leaders of the world, that they must be firm, unwavering. Their word must be accepted. And they have shut the door on knowledge, on truth, on revelation. That which happened 2,000 years ago is happening now. Christ said he should return. I would say to you, he has never left. There would be some who would not quite understand my remark, and some may have to even consider it blasphemous. What do we mean by this remark? It's faith. Simple truth is that man is spirit. That the power of spirit is such that it can make itself felt and known in any place, even at the same time, among many people. The time itself means nothing to it. It is beyond time and space. It can express itself in many ways. And to those who will receive the power and the love of Christ is there. Not in shape or in form that you understand, but in spirit and in truth. And to those who understand and accept Christ in the truth to know him within themselves, and they can give forth the word of Christ. They can be a disciple of the Holy Spirit. They can be an instrument, if you like. Though it is an unpopular word among many. So many are afraid of the word medium, what it implies. Many people do not like to think that they are the instrument of somebody else. That it is something to be ashamed of. But surely, if we are truly brothers, we are all God's will, and through our service done one to the other, when our minds are open to receive, we should receive the truth and the Spirit. For Christ understood these things on earth. He is the angel of the reason why. He was in his death, so far removed from the men of his time. And while today he is not really understood, even among those who accept him and praise him, they do not really know. Very few really know Christ. That they do. They assume that they know him. They assume that they are doing his work among his people. And there are many people who consume the shoots. Unconsciously, no doubt. They do charitable work. They are kind in themselves, considerate to others. They go out of their way to do many things, often to their own disadvantage. They do not necessarily know Christ. The whole point is, my friend, that you could only know Christ truly when you understand the truth of spirit and communication. Communication is a reality. But people, even those who profess to know about communication between our words and yours, often are very ignorant of the fundamental truth of it. The mind of the spirit, if I can say term it, is such that it is fluid, it flows. And those who will receive it must tune to it by their very lives and their actions. And when they are truly vessels of the Holy Spirit, then shall they stand up in the church and proclaim it, and they shall indeed be partakers of the Holy Spirit. Remember your Bible, remember what it says, that he shall give his angels charge concerning you. Are you ever conscious of the nearness of those angels? Do you ever listen to their voice? And I do not refer here in the physical sense to voice. I refer to the spiritual consciousness you bear. Remembering that you are the receiver of inspiration of the Spirit. Then again, remember by thinking. Gifts of prophecy, gifts of talent, gifts of healing. All these gifts are gifts of spirit. And you can go forth and heal the sick. You can see or prophesy future. But we must not confuse this when we refer to the future and the material things. It is true that we can and do often in regard to the diseases in this life. We need a good word of healing. But it is not really in that state that I wish to speak to prophet that. I would have fully prophesied. There's so much prophesied in the Bible. There's so much referred to that took place. Even the coming of Christ was prophesied centuries before he appeared. And then when he appeared, the vast majority of the people would have none of him. They were afraid to be more concerned than the material well-being and welfare in that and their safety. It was dangerous that man was considered a political rather than a spiritual figure by many. So many people do not realize that Christ, though fundamentally as we know it, spiritual figure. The look upon it this day by the majority of people as a political figure, one who was dangerous. He was not crucified because of his statements in regard to what you refer to as religion or religious outlook, teaching. He was crucified because he was a political, because he was a dangerous person. And the very people who brought about his destruction and material things were people who were afraid. They were afraid for various reasons. They were afraid that they themselves would lose by supporting him, the appeared to him. They were afraid of the power of God. And they were afraid that he would undermine their own teachings and their own position. They were concerned with good, not with truth. The same thing applies today. Even among the churches. Many people are concerned with themselves. They're not really concerned with the abundance of truth. They're afraid. Fear rules the world. Fear rules your world today, possibly more than it has ever done. The great fear your world. Fear in the religious thing. And the political thing. These two of them are the most dangerous and deadly things today in the world. My feelings, religious and spiritual, there is more cause to fear, to intolerance than anything else. Intolerance, greed, breeds wars, breeds hatred among peoples and nations and religious organizations. Can anyone with honesty say that there is really in the world today love rather than among peoples, whether they are in churches or societies or groups? Or garments, is more fear today than any other time in man's history. The man in his ignorance and foolishness, because of fear, is doing his own destruction. And what can we do to save the world? And I say to you, there's only one way which the world can save itself, and that is by the realization that love overcometh all things. Those who have gone before you are concerned for you, each one. If we come back to your world, endeavoring to go down the barriers of foolishness, ignorance, and frustration, and we knock at your door, hoping and praying that you will open just a little, that we may enter therein and save you from yourself. This is why I come back, why I speak as I do, and I'm not afraid in what I say, because I speak truth to those who listen to my voice, wherever they may be, in whatever their position, with their honest to themselves, the ticket. But the salvation of the world is in the realization that only in love, and in the realization that death is not the end, that the earth world is but a school in which you learn your destiny, so patient for the greater outer world yet to come. When you realize that communication is a fact, that death does not destroy, when you realize that we are all brothers, varying in degree, but nevertheless, all brothers. But it is our task, and it is God's will, that we should work together in love and in harmony. Put ourselves in the background, forget self, forget pomp and ceremony, forget ritual, and sincerely open our hearts. Truth and live it in our lives. Then shall peace come among the people of the earth. Then shall truth hold sway, and death shall be destroyed. This is our task, my friends. Help us to help you. Forget yourself and serve God, remembering that we are one in spirit. And in truth, may God be with you as I know you do. May you go forth in strength together and in darkness in service.
Oh, can I give you hold on a minute?
I'll try, child.
Oh, when was this the other night on Thursday evening?
Yes, darling.
Well, you know there was a controversy over your voice.
There will always be controversy, unfortunately.
Anyway, they may have always given you mouth in our opinion, but because you are, you know, you are theologically trained apostles, that some of your words are not correct. You mentioned the word strata. And they hold on to that, which is rather silly, you saw. And they wanted us to ask you about it.
The answer to that is simply that it says, you just remember that all science is created artificially. You in your world, using your human natural body, vibrating the atmosphere to do, the local using your own bedroom. Couples of your background and education create what you term your voice peculiarity. What constitutes an ordinary voice? Itself, after all, is only conveying the thoughts of the individual. When I or others come and speak to those, you must remember that without speaking, we are artificially reproduced voicemarks. In other words, we are transmitting our thoughts. That which you hear is being transmitted in a state artificially. Personally, I do not think it matters whether one's voice is identical. Personally, I doubt very much if anyone coming from the sky can identically reproduce their voice. After all, what is a voice? A reproduction of thought by sound waves. Don't forget, my friends, that we who are outside your world, no longer having the same physical body, no longer able to speak to you in a normal sense as you understand it, transmitting thought as we do. We are the power of an instrument or medium. It can hardly be expected to reproduce our identity or even remember what the sound of our voice would have been like. Time itself robs us many things. But what it does not rob us of is truth. For we gain greater truth and knowledge by experience. We are in a position to present truth, good truth to you, students. Do not be affected by small things, which so often people deliberately point out to try to destroy because they are unfearful and threatening. After all, it does not in a sense really matter whether my voice is the voice that I had when on earth or not. In any case, my voice, like many other voices, no doubt change from age to age. My voice with my latter years of life was not like my voice when I was 20. And also, the change of word in itself here and there is a little important. It does not even matter whether it is I, or it will become other selves at the time, providing the message is the message of good. People confuse issues. Often things are brought up to try to destroy because they are fearful and afraid. I speak to you as I am. Remember this, not as I was. Remember that I have changed. Thank God I have. I am proud to be able to say, pride within my nature, that it is not that I have changed. My thoughts are not the thoughts that I once had in this way. To what matters it is my voice, because I said. To those who doubt, I say, the time shall surely come. And you shall believe. But it is better if you believe while you are yet on earth. For then you can do much that is good than to wait until you come here. For many are they who look back and wish that they had known truth while on earth. How different their lives would have been, how different their actions. How much more could they have served their fellow man and God in consequence? To all my friends, wherever you may be, and to all my friends, even those who do not accept or cannot accept, I say my blessings upon you. Go forward, search well, and know that I have in fact calmed it down to devil's teeth. Have your mind spoken? Let it speak. Let us plant the seed of love and goodwill, that it long days together by peace and the joy.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Mrs.